standing in the presence of God, John the 8th chapter, looking and reading from the 38th verse this morning. You hear that song? It says, "Speak to my heart." That's what we want God to do for you. Speak to your heart. Give you a holy word. John chapter 8, starting at verse number 38. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." They answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works of your father." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot hear my word. For you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." I want to use as a title this morning's message, Father's Day message, the father figure. The father figure. Remain standing. Our Father, which art in heaven, holy be your name. We give you thanks this morning for this great opportunity to share and to hear the word of God. We ask you that you take this word now, bury it deep in our hearts that we might not sin against you. That we walk worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing you in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We give you thanks and praise, anointing the ears to hear, the eyes to see, and the heart to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. For this we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. All of God's people say amen. Amen. One more time with a good glorious sound. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated in the house. Thanks to our musicians this morning, brothers. God bless you. Give them a hand clap as they go. To our ushers and again our choir, God bless all of you, our greeters this morning, and our hostess. Thank you for all that you do. Let me remind or return your vision to the 38th verse of John chapter 8. Jesus says, "I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you have heard from your father." The father figure. The father figure. The book of John, it was written, and we see it from the other three synoptic gospels. The differences that are contained in this book challenge the mind, the will, and the emotions to understand that there is a high Christological feel. In other words, Jesus is exalted not just as the Son of Man, but he's seen as the Son of God, a high Christ, one who was in the beginning with God, the Word. And the Word was made flesh, and then the Word dwelt among us. And in this series of teachings and ministry that God does, that Jesus does, we wonder in this background, that he starts off this series of what we call self-disclosures. I am, using the same terminology that the Jewish Yahweh used by saying to Moses, I am that I am. And in this high theological and spiritual mindset, we see Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Then he says, I am the light of the world. My question in John chapter 8 is, how in the world we start talking about people's daddies? We're in the middle of a major theological conversation, and then we start talking about folk parents, daddies. I had to go back and reread and see how did this conversation go down to this level. Well, it turns out that Jesus, who described some of these people that he was seeing as people who really believed in Jesus, I believe that many of you in this room believe in Jesus. You believe. You really believe in Jesus. Amen. But what he had a problem with, of all those believers, many of them were not disciples. There's a big difference. You can do a lot of believing, but if you're not a disciple, folks start getting on your nerves. I believe in Jesus. Well, why are you not doing what Jesus said do? And that's where these Pharisees and these disciples or these followers of Christ got on their nerves when he said, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That's when they got disturbed. Wait a minute. I want you to hear me now. What you mean? The truth gonna say, we are free. They said, we are, watch this, the offspring of Abraham, and we have never, watch this, been enslaved. Any theological mind, any casual reader would see that these people were in the midst of bondage. The Roman captivity was there. They were not free to do what they wanted to do. They were not free to govern themselves. The Romans governed them. They were not free. But they tried to maintain a freedom through their identification with Abraham. Abraham is my father. Now I'm going to bring this home. This is where many of us are today. Many of us want to identify with somebody who we look to as a father figure. And where the trouble comes in is that some of us have grown up without fathers. And so we're identity challenged. We have an identity crisis. They had an identity crisis because they said that Abraham was their father. They were looking for identity and could not find it in truth. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Can I speak from the heart this morning? I only have a few minutes. I might as well. In our society, the absence of what we understand as fathers has been an enigma to sociologists, to psychologists, because from the very start and the beginning, there's always been an understanding of identity through the fathers. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, who was the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. When you go down and you look at everybody's, when you look at their resume, familiar resume, you see that a father is mentioned here and a father is mentioned there. But there are many people today that cannot turn to and say, so-and-so is my father. And if some of us do, some of us are ashamed of who we think is the Father. I'm just going to talk from my heart. Jesus used a term called pater. I was initially in theology class insulted when I was told that I should not refer to God as my father. God has no gender. We should not look at God as gender. Well, I want to let you know that that insulted me. Not because I'm negative about a gender of a female or a male, but because I look to God as my father. My sister is sitting here today, and it just so happened that this day she had to visit. She was here for our ordination, but in 1976, it was she and I that were sitting on the street corner of our elementary school, waiting for our father to pick us up from school. He picked us up every day. I was 8 and she was 5. She sat there next to me, and I recall it. We waited. The time was getting late, December 2nd of 1976. We waited. Finally, someone picked us up and brought us home. And at that time, we knew something was wrong. I was 8 and she was 5. So the prayer team that yesterday this is going to be difficult. At that time, we did not know how our lives would change. Because we had learned that our father was dead. Five years, another brother who was 4, and another brother who was 3 months old. 4 children. Who we thought would have to live without a dad. But I thank God that uncles, older brothers, church members, pastors, men who were barbers, assistants at school, teachers, principals, men who did not know that they were standing as father figures to people who did not have a father. They built us up. They spoke into our lives. They helped us. They strengthened us. And I understood after it was all over that God said, I will never leave you to be an orphan. I will stand with you. I will father you. I will be with you. That's why to this day, I still say, Abba, Father. Yes. I still say, my Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because he challenged and showed that I will not leave you nor forsake you, even to the end of the world. Jesus used this term, pater. We heard him call from the cross. We heard him call from the garden. We understand that this word actually means a nourisher, a protector, an upholder, someone who transmits their spirit, their life into you. It may not need to be, or it does not need to be, biological. If a father does not need to be biological. A father figure is someone who stands in the gap and shows you and works with you and is with you and does not leave you nor forsake you. That's what a father does. That's who is one of the most significant contributors to the culture of society today is the father figure, the paternal figure. There is a differentiation, now watch this, between a father figure and a mentor. A father figure can be a mentor, but a mentor is not necessarily a father figure. Mentors teach and train younger people, inexperienced people, to grow from their experience and their perspective. But like a strong colleague of mine recently posted and said, my father didn't say much. As a matter of fact, he didn't teach me how to live. He just showed me how to live. He didn't do a lot of words. He just showed me what it meant to be a man. He showed me what it meant to be a father figure, the one that requires deeper investment, more time and attention. I'm striving right now. See, I didn't have the in-home father, so I had to take pieces and parts, work ethic from this person, spirituality from that person, how to do things from this person, how to just be a man from another person. And you put all that together and you realize that in your life, God has provided father figures. But there's so many people today that are psychologically wounded because they don't have that father. Can I show you something that all of these brothers said today? Julian, Hadi, Leon Richer, and Harriet Mims. Social and spiritual father figures are vitally important. Now, I asked these three, but we have, if you look across this room, you will see multiple men who are generational throughout our congregation that stand and live as father figures. Amen. And here's the problem, brothers. The devil tries to tell you you're not perfect. Well, who is? Just be who you are. Let God show as an example that you just come to church. You might not say a whole lot, Mr. Mims, but you come to church. You might not do a whole lot around here, but you at least sing in the choir. You might not, but people are looking at this man and they're seeing this man. And I guarantee you, hundreds of years from now, somebody's going to say, I remember Mr. Mims. I remember Leon Richer. I remember Julian Hyde. Why? Because they stand as fathers. There was a scholarly work that was written by Michael E. Connor and Joseph White. It's called Black Fathers, An Invisible Presence in America. And what it was saying this: even though fathers seem to be invisible for social, economic, all kinds of inglorious reasons, they are still present. Listen to what they say. Fathering is a dynamic process, not a static one. Children's developmental needs change as they age. Older children need different types of guidance than do younger children. Children within the same family, by virtue of their personalities, they have a way that they interact with parents. You, those of you that have multiple children, you know one can be a clown from day one. And the other one, you'd have to tell them nothing. But the fathering factor is not static, it is one that is dynamic. And I'm challenging everyone today that whether you are a biological father or a spiritual or emotional or social father, understand that your work is needed. Your presence, brothers, is needed. We need you. A parent may need to be more authoritarian with one child than with the next, based on the nature of the child or the crowd with which the child is spending time. In research, watch this. Now, I want you to see the godliness in this. Fathers whose children grew up to be academically successful were six things. Can you just hear these six? Providers of encouragement and love. Sometimes you just have to say, man, get up. Wipe it off, let's go back at it. Number two, they gave strong, watch this, limit setting discipline. Ladies, would you let these brothers be fathers? Amen. I know you don't want you're touching your baby and messing with your baby and fussing at your baby. Let the brothers do what they have to do to help these brothers and sisters grow. Amen. Number three, set high expectations. Number four, we're open. Watch this, consistent and strong in communication. Sometimes you really don't have to say a whole lot. Some of you have parents like that. They just gave you a look. And might have pointed their finger at you. And you know that it was about to go down as soon as you got to the house. They were positive in their identification. They gave you identity. Whether it was racial identity, spiritual identity, they gave you identity. And this is important for males and females. Many of our brothers and sisters that we see today do not have positive IDs, positive identity. They need to look at somebody and say, I can aspire to be like this person. Uh-huh. And then finally, living in community. When these fathers proved that they would at least bring their boys and their girls to church, bring their boys and their girls to a place of being in a community. You cannot do this by yourself. You cannot do this by yourself. Put them in community. Put them in a place where they're around other brothers, around brothers that may be struggling with the same things, dealing with the same things. Put them in community. Finally, if you look at that verse one more time, 38, Jesus says this, I speak of what I have seen. Jesus is saying that the Father, the very presence and character of God, gave me who I should be. But he says to the others, you do what you have heard. See, Satan, he says, is nothing but a liar. Julian mentioned something about the lies that he may have heard. Well, maybe she might not like me. Maybe I might not be. Sometimes the enemy will use lies to keep you from fellowshipping and being strong fathers. The importance of what is seen and heard. I'm going to close it with this. And then, brothers, I want to pray for all of us before we close. Many of us are not verbal. In other words, we may call ourselves introverts. We're not big on speeches. We're not big on standing in front of others. But I promise you that we learn more from what we see by example than what we hear. You can say something all day, but until we see it. You can preach and teach all day, but we've got to see it. We've got to promise ourselves that we will live in front of our children. Thank you for that, Mr. Mims. We will live in front of them as examples. You cannot say, do as I say and not as I do. That does not work. Father figures. Many brothers are being called upon right now to adopt, to mentor younger men. Brothers, I challenge us. Let's be like that around this church. Many of our single females or many of our younger ladies or even some of our grandmothers, they're bringing their boys here to go to Sunday school. Can we be mentors for them? Can we be father figures for them? Because you don't know what they don't have at the house. You don't know what they're seeing at the house. Can we be men, father figures for them? Amen. This was super short. I apologize for the shortness of time. We're going to get there one day where we can go a little bit further. But at least you hear what I say. Have the music come back. This morning, I want to pray for our brothers. All of you who are fathers and father figures, I'm going to ask all the men in just a few moments to come to the front. We're going to pray together, believe God together for a move of God in our church that will translate into our community, that will translate into our schools, that will translate into our world, that we can stop this ungodly imprisonment, mass incarceration of our young men and our young black women and young black men that continues to go on because there is an identity crisis. I think we can start the change right here. I think we can start the change in this room, in this house. And I refer back to Julian as he said, ladies, we thank you. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for having our back. Because you don't know the pressure. Some of you don't know the pressure that's on some of us. Not only to be men, but to be godly men. Not only to be strong, but to be strong in the Lord.
Yeah.
But I pray that you continue to pray for us. As the old folks say, pray my strength in the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. But as we close, I want to have every eye closed and every head bowed. I'm going to ask this morning, there's some of you this morning, you need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to know who Jesus is. And we're going to be very, very brief, but very intentional. This morning is your morning. You say, Pastor, this father situation has been a trip with me, but I need Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.